Sunday. We're glad you're here worshiping us this Sunday, either physically or remotely. We especially welcome any children with us today. There are kids' bins and a quiet room in the narthex, and a volunteer run nursery for those 5 and under downstairs after the children's story, if that would make your time with us easier. Please read the bulletin for many announcements and information on upcoming events. This is a busy season as many of our winter programs begin to wrap up, and we prepare for our summer vacation Bible camp. Special note, this year we'll be picnicking together with other Niagara Region Mennonite congregations on Sunday, June 23rd, 2024 at 10:30. So mark that in your calendars. That's going to be the same place that we've been doing our church picnic for the last few years.
Let's bow for prayer as we enter into worship. Lord, as we worship you today on Pentecost Sunday, moved us by your Holy Spirit as you moved in the midst of the crowd in Jerusalem. Open our eyes to see you as you are. Open our ears to hear your word for us, and open our hearts to praise you. Lead us into new ways of serving you. Help us to be agents of your love to all people in a world where there is much division and hate. Help us to be beacons of hope and agents of your peace in a world that is torn apart by conflict. Prepare us so that when you return, we will be ready. And as we expectantly wait, help us to bring the taste of heaven here on earth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
We're going to continue our worship by singing Ancient Birds, named suited to the Southern Middle of the Sketch for our second song.
Mm-hmm. Jesus, oh, That's on two pages. That is coming Wednesday. We have the senior fellowship again. We know it's short notice, but we have to squeeze it in before the renovations start in this church. So 2:30 this coming Wednesday, we will be seeing wonderful pictures of nature from the Niagara area. I'm sure you will enjoy it. 2:30 on Wednesday. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Any other sharing or prayer requests? We do know we are recorded, and this does show up on our website. But if you are uncomfortable having your request shared with everyone like that, please email it into the church, and we would be happy to pray for you in our private instead of making community like this as well. All right, well, let's pray together. I'll invite you at the end to do the Lord's Prayer with me. You can pray the Lord's Prayer in whatever language is on your heart, whatever, whether that's German or even a different translation. We will have an English version up on the screen to guide you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are good. And Holy Spirit, we thank you that you continue to be near your people. Here in this place, here in this people, here in the Niagara region, here throughout the world. Lord, we pray that you would continue to reignite that fire, reignite that passion, so that we can continue to see people as people like you see them. People to be loved. People to be served with open hands. People to go to in the midst of their difficulties and their troubles, guiding our feet so that they can know that they are loved. Lord, we pray that each person here would be able to experience your love in such a way that it changes how we interact with each person we meet throughout the week. Lord, we recognize that there is much trouble in the world, from sickness, from violence, war, addiction, hunger, poverty, loneliness. Lord, have mercy. Continue to work through the community of your church. Lord, work through the hearts of the leaders throughout the world and continue to bend them towards your ways of grace, mercy, peacemaking, and hope. Lord, we pray that we will be able to see your kingdom come and your will be done through our lives and by our prayers, through the works of our hands, through the kindness of our words. Lord, in all things we recognize that everything belongs to you. So as we give our tithes and offerings to you, we recognize that it already belongs to you. Take what we give and use it to advance your kingdom. And friends, I invite you to pray the prayer Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We will now invite our children to please come forward. We have a message from Aaron.
Good, yeah, that's good. Good observation.
So we are celebrating a birthday today, but it's not for a person. It's a very special birthday. Today we're learning about the church's birthday, but not just our church. We're talking about the church all around the world. So this is God's church, all the people who love God all around the world. We are all God's church, and that's the birthday today. Today is the birthday of God's church, and we call that, we celebrate that on Pentecost. So that's what today is. Do you remember last week we talked about how Jesus rose from... We talked about how Jesus rose from the dead, and he then rose up to heaven, right? And right before he left, he told his disciples, all of his friends and his followers, that he was going to send a really special gift for them. And so they had to wait for a little while for that gift to come. So while they were waiting in the city of Jerusalem, and they were in a room together, and all of a sudden, there was a big sound like wind. Have you ever heard a really loud wind? Like the kind of wind that makes your house kind of creep a little bit? Let's make a big wind sound all together. Can you guys make wind noises? What does a big wind sound like? Yeah, it sounds like that. Let's try it all together. Big wind sound. Yeah, something like that. So there's a big wind, and then these little bits of fire appeared above their heads, but they didn't catch anything on fire. They just sat on top of their heads, so it looked like this. Can you make little fires above our head? Make a little fire above your head. Yeah, something like that. And then another amazing thing happened. The disciples, they started speaking in other languages they didn't even know. Do you have friends or family who speak other languages? What are some other languages that you know? Mason, what's another language?
German.
Yeah. Some of the people at our church speak German, right? Do any of you know German? No, none of you know German. I don't really know German. But imagine we all started speaking German all of a sudden, which we don't know. All the disciples, they were speaking different languages all at the same time that they had never spoken before. Can you imagine that? There's wind, there's fire, there's all these different languages all at once. This was Jesus' gift for the disciples. This was the Holy Spirit that came to them, and the Holy Spirit was going to be a special helper that would stay with them now that Jesus was gone. They were going to have the Holy Spirit instead. And this was someone who would help them find the words to share God's message with others, and that's exactly what they did. They went out and they told everyone about God, and that's why Pentecost is considered the church's birthday, because that's when the church began. And the best part is, today we're celebrating the birthday of God's church, and we can also be happy knowing that that gift the disciples got, the Holy Spirit, we get that gift too. We also get the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is always with us, our own special helper from God. So that's a lot that we can celebrate, even better than a birthday, right? So why don't we pray together and thank God for that? All right, let's pray. Dear God, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you help us know what to do and make good decisions. And we pray that as we celebrate Pentecost, we would have the courage to share about you with others. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay. Thanks, guys. Thank you.
Today's scripture reading comes from Acts 2, verses 1 to 21. And for those who want to follow, it is on page 1692 and 93. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all of these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Persians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts of Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd, "Fellow Jews, and all you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Thus far God's word.
Today is Pentecost Sunday. So let's start maybe with a simple question. What was Pentecost? What is going on here? What did that mean to the people of that time? And maybe you just start to think, if someone asked you, what's Pentecost? How do you answer that? Well, Pentecost is an old celebration. It's a celebration of the Jewish people, part of Judaism, going way back to remembering what happened in Egypt when they as a people were enslaved. Then we know Moses shows up, there's fire. Fire will happen multiple times in this story. And Moses is called to go and to say, let my people go. God is now releasing his people. There are all of these plagues, and then we have this plague, this terrible plague of the angel of death appearing and the firstborn sons. But as it happens, they were putting blood over their doorposts, and this is remembered as the Passover, when they had been passed over by the angel of death, where they had this cedar meal. In fact, that is the same meal that Jesus and his disciples will have at the Last Supper. They're celebrating Passover. But the story in Exodus continues. We have Moses leading the people. We have the Sea of Reeds, or sometimes weirdly called the Red Sea, being split in two. They march on dry land. They get to freedom. They end up in this wilderness for how long? They're unsure. And as they go around for a while, days pass, and as it gets near the 50th day, I think it's around the 47th day for counting in Exodus, we see them come to a mountain, Mount Sinai, and we see Moses will go up and then come down 3 days later with these commandments, with what we call the law, or the Torah, being passed on to the people. And this is remembered as the Festival of Weeks, or Shavuot, which I'll only say once, because I can barely say it. Shavuot is the 50th day, the Feast of Weeks, or what they would have called in Greek, Pentecost. So at this Pentecost festival that we're seeing going on here, this is a big festival. They are remembering the first fruits, so this is the first crops kind of coming up. They're bringing that in. And because of weather and travel and other things, it ends up being that in Jerusalem, as all of the Jewish people come together, they're able to come to be there on Shavuot. I keep saying it. I said I wouldn't. They're able to come together there more than they could on Passover and at some of the other festivals. In fact, they'll estimate that the population of Jerusalem on this day will be 3 or 4 times larger than usual. It will all come together and celebrate. So that is what Pentecost was. But we remember Pentecost and use the word Pentecost because it means something different and even more in some ways to us. Pentecost is the birth of the church. It's where we see Jesus now ascended, this holy fire now coming down. And if you'd like to read through the week later, Exodus chapter 19 will have a whole bunch of parallels to what is going on in this story. And it will be assumed by Luke, the writer here, that you are very familiar with Exodus. That's how we come to Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Now we'll do a little bit of background so that we know where we are in the church's story, where we are in the biblical story here. So we've had all of the Easter events take place. And that is where we end in the book of Luke, going to his second book that he wrote, Acts, or Acts of the Apostles. Jesus appears and showing the disciples. He is teaching the disciples for 40 days about the kingdom of God. They are learning these new things.
the kingdom of God in these ways maybe that they were having trouble understanding before, and truthfully, they will still have trouble understanding. They still think, as Jesus says, you're going to wait for the Holy Spirit to come. They'll be like, well, when are you going to renew the whole kingdom to Israel? When are we going to get to be the bosses? As we talked about before, who gets to be at the right side? Who's going to rule over what? When is all this stuff happening? And Jesus will say, wait, you still don't understand. You need something else to understand. And I'm going to send you to be my witnesses. The people who have experienced, who have heard, who embody this new way. And it's going to go everywhere. All throughout the world. Look wider. Even to your enemies. Even the places you don't know exist. And then we see Jesus ascend to heaven. This is maybe a bit of a confusion. We sometimes think of Jesus' resurrection just as that moment where Jesus is now king over the world, where Jesus has conquered death, where it shows that everything he's said and done has more power for him. The Bible says that's true, he has conquered that, but it is at his ascension where Jesus goes to heaven that we now see him truly crowned king over all of creation. The disciples, the followers of Jesus, all of those women, including his mother, and now his brothers as followers, where if you read back through the Gospels, you see his brothers weren't always so sure about what he was doing. But now they're gathering together, and they're praying, and they're waiting for something to happen. And that's where we get to the beginning of Acts. And we read more today, but we'll look at those first 8 verses in particular. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, when the celebration came, they were all together in one place. All together in one place. There's this very purposeful repeating of a togetherness, of a unity. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation of heaven. When they heard the sound, the crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, aren't these, we're speaking all Galileans? Galileans? This is their way of saying, aren't these just unlearned hillbillies? Maybe we're the closest we have to us. Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Okay, well, let's dig deeper because there is some rich stuff behind this. So again, as we talk, what is Pentecost? Pentecost is that 50th day after the Passover. It is where Moses goes up on Sinai and gets the law. And when you read Acts 19 later, note that there is more than just a violent wind. There is a storm that comes on the mountain. And God comes down at Sinai in a way that the people will see from a distance as smoke, but Moses will see up close as fire. That this fire from heaven comes down and gives them this law written on stone, the temple law. So Jerusalem, Pentecost, again, filled with people. People from all over the place. Now, much the same way maybe that English sometimes works in the world, where if you go to different countries, you can almost always find someone who speaks our language. We're very fortunate on that front. But people at this time would all speak multiple languages. If they're coming to Jerusalem, they would have learned different languages growing up. They probably all speak 3 or 4 languages. But like us, they have a language of their heart. Right? That version of a language that they had from their childhood that speaks to them differently. So we have the disciples, these followers of Jesus, these men and women all together praying in unison, waiting in unison. And then the Holy Spirit comes. Spirit as the word that is also wind. The holy wind, the holy breath of God. And as we're speaking these other tongues, and sometimes this can get confusing because we'll talk about tongues of angels and other parts of the Bible and other stuff. There's weird stuff, right, that goes on as a part of our faith. But here specifically, it's using the word for other languages. Suddenly, as they're speaking, they are either speaking in those other languages or people are hearing their words and it's being translated into their own language. That's what people are hearing. Okay, so the trouble we have in this passage is that we look at those disciples, a variety of people all together. We recognize that being all together is hard. Right? We have a variety of belief, a variety of experience, a variety of economic background, family background here, and even more so throughout our community. The more variety, the harder it is sometimes for us to gather together, us to agree together, for us to deny ourselves, our preferences, our wants, and put that aside for what Jesus calls us to. But that's hard to do. And it talks about this Holy Spirit fire. And maybe you remember what it was like in that moment. Maybe you've had one of those religious or spiritual experiences where that fire burned brightly for a time. But maybe you know what it's like. Maybe you know what it's like right now to feel that physically. Maybe it's more that our faith ends up being in our heads. These things that we know instead of this fire that burns inside us and moves us. And the truth is that uniformity, where we're all the same, we all do the same thing, is our preference as people. Birds of a feather flock together because we prefer that. We like the way that we like things. And we want everyone else to agree that they should like it exactly the same way. And if we're not careful, we can start to have our faith look more like parts of stone. Our faith look more where we become disconnected to the passionate version of our faith that burns and loves others. And that faith, that part of stone, can very much turn to laws of stone, to rules everyone else has to follow. I was speaking to someone, and they were quite a bit older than me. I won't. That doesn't narrow it down necessarily, but you can imagine maybe who it was. And they were sharing when they had children here, they were sitting in the back row, and they still remember as their kids made noise, people looking back, how dare children make noise at church? Because we have these rules, it's supposed to be a certain way, we're supposed to dress a certain way, we're supposed to be a certain way, so that we can fit in. Right? Do the right things, believe the right things, and if you're here for a few decades, maybe that will actually be one of us. These rules and regulations that cause us to see other people in relation to those rules, instead of in relation to the heart, to love. But this is a passage of hope. Because we see what happens when people listen to Jesus. When they gather together. Because Jesus calls us all together. Not in uniformity, but as we are. Not waiting for you to dress the right way, think the right things, do the right things, but no, come as you are and let us be loved and changed by that love. And that is what we see happening here, is that the Holy Spirit changes those early disciples. That they move from this moment where they were thinking only about, okay, but when are we going to be the conquerors still? When are we going to be the ones who are in charge over others? To suddenly, their hearts being changed, their eyes being opened, their hearts of stone being replaced with hearts of flesh and fire. To be able to reach out. To be able to be that church that Jesus called them to be. To embody that mission Jesus gives them. Not just embody it, but to be able to do it. And we see right at the beginning the truth that diversity actually is what centers us as a church. We are centered on Jesus. Not because we all agree on the same thing or come from the same place. We agree that Jesus at the center, and then all of us together from different places gather and pull together as a community. There's a sentiment, and maybe this is more from my experience in America, that they had a billboard. And that billboard, we would drive past it on our way to Lincoln, the big city, the capital in Nebraska. And that billboard said, God is colorblind. And what the person who put that billboard up was trying to push against was racism. They're trying to say, God isn't racist. God doesn't see color. And I understand that starting point in their heart. But they are completely wrong. God is not colorblind. God is a fantastic artist who sees all the different people for who they are because he made them who they are in those different colors, in those different backgrounds, in those different experiences. We see diversity immediately as a center point of the early church because people weren't expected to come and listen to the disciples in the upper room where they were praying. No, as they were praying, suddenly they spoke those languages that somehow moved beyond the walls and people heard them in the city and they heard their own language. The message went and found them and found them in their heart where they were. And that changes the way the early church would be. Because it is a fire that fuels us. That fire that comes down at Sinai, that people were afraid of, and they couldn't even come near the mountain. If you touch the mountain, you would die. They could only see it as a smoke from a distance. Now that fire comes down and rests on each of the people. Because we don't need hearts and laws of stone anymore. That has been replaced by this fire, this passion of Jesus that indwells God's people. So what does all that fancy, maybe theological stuff, what does that mean for us today? Well, we are reminded again that ours is not a faith of intellectual ideas. Right? Reading, learning, these are all important things. But our faith isn't about everything making sense to us. You do not believe and follow Jesus because you are so smart and you have figured everything out. We follow Jesus because the Holy Spirit has changed our hearts. And that changes the way we understand and experience and love and get through everything. The Holy Spirit is what fuels our faith as followers of Jesus. And it is the Holy Spirit that fuels our mission. And I know our church kind of has a mission statement, and lots of churches like to come up with mission statements and ideas, but we already have a mission. And that's the one Jesus gave us. To go, to love, to invite in, to baptize, to teach as we go, to embody that love in such a way that people experience it for themselves. It is the Holy Spirit that enables us to move beyond our prayers, to move beyond our actions, so that we can start to see God's kingdom come and God's will be done here in our neighborhoods. See, it is the Holy Spirit that fuels Jesus' church. Because church is not a building. Church is a people. A people who gather together in spite of our great differences. In spite of our inability to agree on everything. But because Jesus draws us there through the power of the Holy Spirit, passion makes us move beyond what we think to serve and act together in such a way that we become a community of Jesus. It is the Holy Spirit that fuels us. It is the Holy Spirit that will enable us to move beyond these great ideas of love your enemies and turn the other cheek, to actually be able to live that out. The way of Jesus is not something the love of Jesus is not something our neighbors would be able to experience from us without the supernatural movement of the Holy Spirit. So friends, how is your fire burning? How is your candle burning? How much is left of the way? Because we are a community of Jesus. So as some of us feel that fire more than others, as some of us feel it almost fizzling out in difficulty, we do not rely on any single one of our flames to stay lit. We are filled by the Holy Spirit together as a community. If you're feeling your fire go out, share that with our neighbors here and let us share our flame with you so that we can burn for Jesus. So what is Pentecost for us? This day we celebrate today. Pentecost is a recognition that church isn't just an idea or a place, or even a people group who enjoy the same things. Church is a group of people gathered by Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit filled with this fire, this passion, this love, so much so that 2,000 years later, in an entirely different continent, we are here today, continuing that mission to go and love one person at a time, and let the Holy Spirit do the rest. That is the promise of Pentecost 2,000 years ago. And that is the promise of Pentecost and the power of the Holy Spirit for us today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are good. We thank you that you are a God who doesn't stay at a distance from us. That you are a God who isn't so holy that you don't come and sit right beside us where we are. Lord, we pray that each person here would experience the passion, that fire again in your Holy Spirit. Lord, burn in our hearts so that our neighbors might experience the warmth of your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus, by your love. Go in God's peace. Amen.